Okay, who's you're letting them in or am I?
I could do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. Here they come.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
Malky. You can't see me, though.
Hi, Malky.
Hi, Rachel.
I guess we'll just wait a couple minutes to get everybody in.
Computer audio.
So it's failed to detect your speaker. I don't know what's wrong with it. That's messed up.
Okay, should we give a couple more minutes? Okay, should we begin? Everyone good? Okay. Okay, hello everyone and welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight. I know everyone is really busy, especially with schoolwork. So we truly appreciate your participation. I know it has not been an easy time and everyone has their own challenges they're dealing with now. We wanted to spend some time talking about dating since it affects so many of our students in so many different ways. There's no reference book or an older sibling that can tell you what it was like for them when they dated in social distancing. There are no rules. There's no rule book. So we are going to try tonight to give you some guidance and suggestions on how to make the best of the situation. There were a lot of amazing questions sent in. Thank you very much. We will try to get to as many questions as we can. Please note that tonight we'll be focusing on dating right now during the COVID-19 pandemic. So we're going to focus only on those related questions. Please note also that even after this discussion is over tonight, we can all be reached and we are all here for you in all ways. We are lucky to have with us two amazing professionals that can shed some light on the situation and help navigate these uncharted territories. Mrs. Malky Galler is a part of YU Connect's team as the Long Island Regional Connector. She has Baruch Hashem helped in making dozens of shidduchim and works tirelessly 24/7 on behalf of singles. A fun fact about Malky is that she made her first shidduch while still a single student at Stern. We also have joining us Dr. Avi Michel. Dr. Avi is a clinical psychologist at the Yeshiva University Counseling Center and in private practice in New York City and Muncie. He works with anxiety, depression, and specializes in relationships, including dating, engagement, and marriage. Please keep in mind that we will be discussing the situation as it is today. And as you know, things can change week to week. So please bear that in mind as we continue with this. One second. Okay. Let me just switch over here. Okay. Here we go with the first set of questions. Okay, number one. I haven't started dating yet, and I was hoping to start after Pesach around this time, especially with all the uncertainties of the future. Should a first date be over Zoom, or should it be something I should consider? That's part one. Related questions are, if a girl was planning to start dating now, should she wait until after Corona ends? We don't know how long COVID-19 will last, so when should we start? We don't know how long it will be. Malky?
Okay. Do you date or do you wait? That's the question of the times. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you should, but you definitely can. It is possible to begin a relationship on a video and phone calls. However, we're going to need to be realistic regarding a timeline and expectations. When dating initially through video chat, you must realize that the timeline will be different. Don't go in expecting this to feel the same as in-person dating. If you're one of those girls that have already started dating, you'll know what that feels like. This isn't going to feel the same. Like after a few dates, you should know if it's going anywhere. Relationships are going to build slowly, and don't put any pressure on yourself because you will feel disappointed. I sometimes tell my dating couples that every 2 or 3 virtual dates can feel like 1 in-person date. As with everything about our current situation, we need to exercise patience, especially in the dating field. The most important message that I can give you for virtual dating is that it needs patience, time, and flexibility. Now, a couple can't merely meet on Zoom and decide to get married. Rav Willig very clearly told us in his pre-Pesach dating panel that Zoom dating isn't for someone who's going to date for a very short amount of time. There must be significant face-to-face dating before any decision about marriage can be made, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. Now, the reason that I didn't start off by saying that you should start dating now is because many people aren't in the headspace to date now, and that's a fine reaction as well. So much has changed in these last 2 months, learning about COVID, finding out how to stay safe, being locked in for months can be depressing. Losing loved ones or dealing with sick family members or friends could be very overwhelming. I don't want to focus on the negativity, but there is an elephant in the room that we need to validate those feelings and work with them. When you take all of this possible anxiety into consideration, it's obvious why one may want to hold off dating for the time being. And it may take more time for you to be ready to date, or you may choose not to date at this time altogether. Both responses are okay. If you choose not to date now, I'll advise you to still use this time productively for shidduchim. You can use this time to fix up your shidduch resume, write that dreaded about me paragraph that all shadchanim are asking for and you dread writing. Go outdoors now that the weather is beautiful and have a photo shoot. You can get dressed up, have your parents or siblings take pictures. Even with a cell phone is fine. And you can stop sending out those shidduch pictures where you cut out all your friends from when you were at a wedding and you look nice. You can finally have a really nice shidduch picture. Beautiful spring scenery, and the timing couldn't be any better. Additionally, YU Connect and other groups are running virtual events most evenings. With very little effort, you can be introduced to a few guys that are your age and hashkafa, play some icebreaker games with them. And like we always say, even if they're not for you, they may be for a friend of yours. So it's just a nice and productive way to spend your time.
Okay. Dr. Avi?
Yeah. First of all, I agree really with everything Malki said so perfectly. I think that it depends on the person, but it is a great time to start if you feel comfortable. I would add a little bit that just beyond the dating itself, from even a purely psychological perspective on how to cope with difficult times, I would recommend it if you're comfortable. I think it is a nice thing to live your life and try to the best of our ability to continue doing what we're doing. We can't live for 30 seconds during these months and pretend that things are normal. We can't. It's everywhere. Everywhere you look, everything you do, it's very obvious. But to the extent that's possible, we're trying to live our lives. We're trying to go about doing things. We're trying to do our jobs. We're trying to have our relationships. And so to me, if possible, dating would be no different. If you were in a position to be dating now, then if you're comfortable with it, as Malki said, then you should be doing it. I agree that we have to, you know, reduce our expectations. It's not going to be quick and it's not going to be easy. But as I'm just noticing for myself, you know, things have gotten easier as we've gotten used to it. And so with dating, it's the same thing. The first date might be awkward. The first, second or third date might be awkward. But as you get used to this, especially if it's going to be a few months, from a psychological perspective, I wouldn't feel comfortable telling you to put your whole life on hold for what we don't even know how long it is. If it was, we knew that, you know, June 1st, everything was back to normal, that would be one thing. But to know that social distancing could be going on for at least 6 more months, who knows? I wouldn't, you know, advise in a l'chadchila way for somebody to ideally put their lives on hold and to wait to do that which they were excited or looking forward to doing already now.
Beautiful. I couldn't agree more. Okay. Back to you, Malki. These are our next questions. What are your thoughts on Zoom dating and advice when it comes to it? How are you supposed to get the right vibe of someone if you're not in the same physical place? How do you know you'll be attracted to him or he will be attracted to you once you meet? What if you or him have not spent a long time Zoom dating? How can you properly start a lasting relationship over the phone or computer? Additionally, since we can't pick up on things that we've realized when we are in person, are there other specific things we should look out for instead?
Okay, so I'm going to answer the first question. What are your thoughts on Zoom dating and any advice that comes with it? So luckily, we've now had about 7 weeks to experiment with Zoom dating, and I can give you the benefit of my learned experiences through working with couples who have shared their own successes and failures. So here are some tips for successful Zoom dates. Firstly, discuss in advance how long each call or meeting will be. As a shadchan, I make sure to do this for my couples. I tell them in advance so that everyone knows what to expect. We found that looking at the screen for an extended period of time can be more tiring than face-to-face conversation. It takes more focus to have screen conversations. You're processing nonverbal cues, facial expressions, tone, pitch, body language. So paying attention to this on a screen consumes a lot of energy. And this affects people differently. I usually suggest a 30 to 45 minute Zoom call and no more. Better to end on a high than when you're thoroughly exhausted. We recommend shower, get dressed, prepare, look your best. Don't come in pajamas, although it is tempting. Create a list of things that you can talk about. You can have your own cheat sheet and no one could see it. Check out the background. Your messy bed is not the best idea. If possible, use a setting where you don't see your own face during the call. It's very hard for people not to look at their own faces if you can see it on a screen, and it makes it really hard to focus and look at the other person. Dates don't have to be at night. Day dates can be fun and they have better lighting. And someone mentioned to me their siblings would be in school during the day so they don't bother them because everyone's home now. It's okay to start the conversation with a few moments talking about Corona, but then move on. Don't dwell on the topic. It can get depressing and cause anxiety. Like I said earlier, address the topic and then move the conversation on. Don't be afraid of silences. Silence is a time when you or the other person is thinking about what was shared. And silence is only as awkward as you make it. Say it with me. Silence is only as awkward as you make it. And the benefit of Zoom dating is that you can take your cheat sheet and have topics to talk about when there is a silence. The last thing is smile a lot, especially when other in-person visuals are removed. Smiling is the most effective way to make the other person feel comfortable. I can't tell you how many dates I've set up recently where people are expressing to me that they didn't feel a warmth from the other person. And it was really, when I really like delved a little deeply, it was just the missing smile. The person didn't appear to be engaged and didn't make the other person feel comfortable. And a smile is such an easy way to do that. So that's all.
Okay, Dr. Abby.
Yeah, so I'm going to touch upon the next questions that you asked, the second and third questions about how do we know, I don't remember them by heart, how do we know if we have the right vibe? How do we know if we're attracted to them, if we're not attracted to them? So before I get to that, I just wanted to say one thing about what Malky touched on, which is how strongly I agree with the point about keeping the routine. Like I said in the first question, we have to pretend on some level, trick ourselves into thinking that this is real, that this is normal. And so I couldn't agree more with the importance of showering, getting dressed up, shaving if it, you know, it's not Sfira or your rabbi lets or whatever, getting into all those questions, but to get comfortable and to really feel like you're, you know, in this and you're really dating. I know, like you said, Malky, there's so much joking about, you know, wearing your shorts and pajama pants, but like you really should be dressed up and feel like you're on a date if you want to actually be on a date and connect. I want to get into some of the nuances maybe later about the dating and relationships, but to come back to those questions, how do we know if I have the right vibe? So I'm a big believer in general that there is nobody in the entire world who knows the vibe, who knows how you feel about who you're dating and how it's going as well as you. You are the one who's on the date. You are the one who's with the person. You know how you feel. And a lot of what I do with students is just really just removing distractions and letting them get comfortable trusting that you know what you want. You know if you like him. You know if you don't like him. And at first I was struggling with this question. You know, how do we do it with Zoom? Because there's certainly a challenge. There's no question. It's harder. But I still think the answer is the same. I still think it's learning to trust yourself. Yes, now there's like an extra voice in your head saying, well, what if it's just, you know, he looks good on Zoom or he looks bad on Zoom? That's fair. And I respect that voice. But ultimately, it's about trusting that inner voice inside of you to say, no, I like him. I feel a connection with him. All the same things you would have said 3 months ago. I feel excited to talk to him. I miss him when we're not together. I'm looking forward to the next time we're going to meet. All those things to just go with the flow and be in it. Just experience it, learning to trust yourself. So I think Zoom is a challenge. There's no question. But ultimately, it's just reinforcing some of the challenges we had of learning to trust ourselves. And instead of guessing, well, maybe it's because of Zoom or this, no, trust yourself. You know it. If you have a good vibe, you probably really do have a good vibe. If you don't have a good vibe, you probably really don't have a good vibe. I think what Malki said before from Rabbi Willig is very important. I did not know that he had said that, but it makes a lot of sense that, again, without publicly advising 100 people to break social distancing, which I'm not planning to do, I think it is helpful to meet the person for real and have some level of real dating if and when that becomes relevant. But before we even get to that, you should be trusting yourself and not just assume that if it's going really well on Zoom, maybe we'll meet each other and it'll be a disaster. Or if it's not really going well, I'm not excited, I'm not, you know, having such a nice time, then afterwards it might just be really, really good. And maybe we'll just really click the second we meet in person. Just trust yourself on that. You know, just sort of related to that, I remember when I went on my first date, one of the older guys in yeshiva said to me, first rule of dating is when you're on a date, don't think about dating. And then it becomes like the pink elephant when, you know, don't think about pink elephants. Don't think about pink elephants. And what are you thinking about pink elephants? But there really is a skill here. And I'm not going to talk at length about what mindfulness is, but you could Google it or we could talk about it another time. But it's a skill to be mindful on your date. Just be present. Just smile and laugh and have a good time. And just if you're playing a game, play a game. And if you're talking about something serious, be engaged and not to worry about, is it going well? I mean, I'm looking at myself and it's challenging. I mean, I remember telling somebody that one of the challenges of doing therapy through Zoom is that it's the first time in my entire life I ever got to see myself during a therapy session. Very awkward. You're looking at your own face, seeing your own facial expressions, your own, and usually I just see the person I'm talking to and whatever they see is their problem. But now I have to see me too and it's a little uncomfortable. So just going with that, like, okay, it's a little uncomfortable, but fine. Like, you know, we talked about before with expectations. Just go with it. Have as good a time as you can with it and just trust yourself.
Okay. The other thing I'd like to add also is that online dating has really been around a very long time. That maybe it hasn't been in, you know, universally used or done or adapted for us, but there are people who, you know, have met and gotten married and have had really good relationships via online dating. And again, it might not be classic. It might not be the thing that we've always done, but now in new times, you know, those are things that we can say, okay, like people have done it. We can do this too. And hopefully that's a little reassuring that, you know, it's not like now we don't have cars. Now we'll just go, you know, I meant a new invention. This is not a new invention, and now we can use what we've already had in place. And I'm sure all these dating websites are now really very popular. Okay, let's go to the next questions. Okay, what are your thoughts specifically for out-of-towners and Zoom dating? It is unlikely to be able to meet up in person, even 6 feet apart, for the foreseeable future. Do you think it is worth it to begin Zoom dating, not knowing when you will be able to meet in person? And then on top of that, what are creative activities for Zoom dates? Okay. So, first of all, also everyone, we're going to try to keep this a very, obviously, like I said, a very focused on dating. We don't plan on this being a 2-hour commitment. So it won't be a 30-minute date, but just so everybody knows, we really want to get to the meat of everything and make sure that we get to your questions. And that's why we have two panelists and not a whole panelist of 4 or 5 people. So we want to make sure that we are concise and focused and getting to your questions. Okay, Malki, should I read them again?
Well, I'll answer the question about what are creative activities for Zoom dates.
Okay, great.
Okay. So there's a lot of fun and creative ways to date over Zoom. And like Rachel said, this isn't new. There are, you know, everyone that dated long distance in the past has been doing this. But some of the nice, creative, fun activities, some of the easier ones, you can play question games like perfect matches or lists of getting to know you questions. You ask them to each other. You can play three truths and a lie. You can play would you rather. For more intellectually stimulating dates, you can listen to a TED talk and discuss. For easy fun, you can play online games together like headbands or hangman. To get a little more interesting, you can cook dinner together over video and sit down and eat it together. Someone just told me about this one. I think it's really nice. You can go on a walk on a video date, giving the other person a tour of your neighborhood. And I think the best part of that is that no one knows you're on a date. You can download Duolingo and try to learn a new language together, practice with each other over the phone. You can take a virtual tour together. We saw all these, you know, been going around all those virtual tours, free tours. I like explore Jerusalem's old city virtually and talk about experiences that you've had in certain places that you visited, because it's a really great opportunity for sharing. At this point, I wanted to give a shout out to Tzipora Wasserman from TNEC, who created an incredible virtual dating fun ideas list, the most comprehensive list I've ever seen, with links to the most creative and imaginative things to do. And if you want a copy of it, you could find it on the YU Connects website under the resources. You don't have to be a YU Connects member. You can just log on and click on resources. And we have other resources as well, but this one I thought was fantastic, so I wanted to bring it to everyone's attention. Many more things that I didn't mention are on that, so. Okay.
I don't want to add to the ideas of dating because that's out of my league, but in terms of the first question about out of town, I think to me that comes back to where we started in terms of the, when do we start dating? It's hard to know, and we don't know when this is going to end. So in theory, yeah. I mean, even somebody who's out of town can start. Yeah, if it goes very well. It gets complicated because we've been saying that it's hard to get engaged without, you know, some meetings in person. And, you know, it's tricky, but I don't like the idea of suspending your life unless you just don't feel comfortable, you know, unless you don't feel like in the time and place the date is now. But if you're comfortable with it, then I do believe you could figure it out. I mean, I have situations like that. They didn't start out of town, but they went on 4 or 5 dates and then this happened. And then they're figuring it out. You know, is he going to drive to where she lives? Is she going to drive to where he lives? It's complicated, but you know, I think that they're both happy that they have this problem. So I would recommend it if you're comfortable.
Right. I think another element of this also, which I think would combine both of what you're saying, is that once you, I think, do decide to Zoom date or I guess date now in whatever FaceTime, whatever it is, I think just throw yourself into it. Take it, accept it, and really roll with it, because your own apps being your own obstacle of saying, well, this is weird or this is awkward or there's silence or, you know, my siblings are going to interrupt me or for whatever it is, we can always think of 100 different excuses or 100 different ways that are going to hinder us and hold us back. But I think that, you know, with all things in life and specifically this, I think it behooves everybody and it's beneficial to just kind of say, jump in, just do it, jump in and put a smile on and, do the best that you can. And this is the time to really kind of show your true colors and do the best to make it work. And you can't, again, no one should put their life on hold for, you know, however long this is going to be. And you do the best that you can. Okay. I hope I wasn't on mute just now.
No, we heard you.
Okay. Okay, great. So here we are. Okay. Okay, now we're moving right along. If one was dating for a short amount of time before Corona, and now has time to date on FaceTime, what should they make of this time? What type of conversation should they be having? On the one hand, they are dating for a very specific purpose, but on the other hand, they may not want to wait to have a more serious conversation. They may want to wait to have a more serious conversation in person. Also, do you have any tips for returning back to dating in person when this ends. It may feel unnatural after not seeing each other for several months. And then a related question is, I started dating right before quarantine. I really liked him, but now we don't know how to progress the relationship. Okay. Malky?
Okay. I'm going a little bit out of order. Okay. Hold on. Give me a second. So I'm going to address the one about started dating before quarantine and you really like her. You don't know how to progress the relationship. Because this is a huge question that we've been facing. Singles are constantly asking this question. We've done everything you've suggested, the games, the fun discussions, the deep discussions, the virtual museums. We've exhausted all ideas, and it doesn't feel like our relationship can progress any further. I've heard that a lot. So before this conference, I made sure to get an idea of how to answer this question, because as we know, practically every week, the rules and restrictions are changing. So as of the beginning of this week, our YU Connects policy, which was decided after discussions with the Rosh Yeshiva and medical experts, is that we still strongly and only encourage virtual dating on the outset of a relationship, and certainly for the first few dates. If someone feels that they have reached an impasse and the relationship can't move forward in virtual dating, now this is referring to newly dating couples, as well as a couple that has started dating a while ago before Corona, like in this question, they should speak to their Rav and possibly their physician on an individual basis, but there have been allowances made for in-person, socially distanced dates. And each case is different. Some factors that the Rav and the doctor are going to consider are, is the person living alone? Is she living with someone who's immunocompromised? Has she been sick and recovered? Are there underlying health issues with either of the singles themselves? So as you can see, due to numerous factors that are going to be considered, it still needs to be a case-by-case basis. We can't just give a blanket answer. But the general guidelines that will need to be upheld if they do go out are, we do not recommend dating indoors, no basements, no large indoor stores, only outdoors. Couples should drive in their own cars. They must socially distance and they must adhere to all governmental policies and guidelines. We may not break any governmental rules. But all of this is leaving me with a feeling of optimism and hope that there is and will continue to be a way to maintain and progress relationships for the long-term result of engagement and marriage.
Okay. Dr. Avi?
Yeah, I actually want to talk about the same question, but I hope that if I, you know, talk about it in different ways, it may touch upon some of the other questions as well. You know, this is, to me, this is the single greatest question of the whole dating issue, is if we have to oversimplify dating into three stages, you have stage one, where there's just trading information, you know, getting to know each other in a very basic way. How many brothers do you have? Then there's stage two, where we get a real connection and bond through, you know, vulnerability. And then there's stage three, where we take that to the next level and we get engaged. I think stages one, two, and three are all difficult, but if I take a step back and just look at, you know, the small sample of students and clients that I'm working with on this, there's no question that the second stage is the hardest. There is still a way through Zoom to get some information. And then if everything is going well, there's a way to finish the deal. But this middle stage of how do we create more closeness, more comfort, take it to the next level, I think was the student's words, that's a major, major challenge. And so I just wrote down a few ideas that I came up with some of my colleagues as well at the counseling center to really talk about how to try, even let's say with Zoom and with, you know, without having to get into that, although that might be necessary for stage three, but even through the online dating type of thing, how do we do this? It's just crazy. So I think there's two answers that are sort of can be broken into four, three or four. Number one is I think it's important to change it up. If we talk about, like, if you pretend you're going on a 3-hour date in real life, and then we sort of, I don't know, take all the fun out of it and just talk about what you just did. in like a very dry informational way. What we're basically saying is you got to do different things. You got to see the person have a serious conversation. You got to see the person in a different setting. You got to see them walk around. You got to see them laugh a little bit. And that's the part we don't talk about because it's weird, but that's what a date is. That's what you do. You get to see the person in different ways in different places. So I think even on Zoom, really in a way that Malky was talking about, but just to sort of elaborate on that, there is a way to do that in Zoom. There is a way, first of all, to go on different kinds of Zoom dates. Obviously, you have to be comfortable with this. Everybody's different. You have to, you know, my wife still doesn't like playing board games, but you have to be interested in that. But if you are, I think it's nice if you have different kinds of pieces to your date, whether it's different dates or just different parts of your date. But some of it can be playful and have a good time and see the person laugh. Some of it can be informational, where you're just talking about whatever's going on. And then some of it has to be deep and powerful, where you start to get vulnerable and share things about yourself. I heard an idea from somebody else that there's a nice thing about going in different places. You know, you were talking about doing a tour of your home, like your own house. Like, do one Zoom date in your living room and do another one in your dining room. And the same thing for the boy. Like, just change it up a little bit. See different parts of you. See different parts of your house. There's something to be said about that. If you think, there's a lot of research on routine and how routine makes things seem the same. When you have you wake up the same time every day, you go to the same office, you come home, you have a similar setup every week, it gets kind of, time moves quickly. And that's why, for like example, the month of March felt like it was about 6 months long, because it was so far from our routine that we didn't feel like time was moving at all. And for me personally, I felt that April moved much, much faster, because once we started to get used to it, especially with Pesach and everything, so it started to pick up a little bit. So I think the same is true in dating. Is if you're always in the same, you know, couch, having the same conversation for the same amount of time, it can get a little dull. It's nice to go outside for one day, go to your kitchen, show them what that looks like, show them your dining room, and the same from him, to get a little bit of a different flavor, A, of him, but also just to sort of change it up as if you're going to different places. The second part, which is to me like the single most important thing, if you really didn't pay attention to anything I said, this is really important, is we have to learn to speak more openly and directly than ever before. I'm always a big believer in this. In marriage therapy, it comes up all the time, learning to communicate and express yourself openly and clearly. In this case, it's times a million. Everything has to be put to words. It's a little bit awkward. It's a little bit more uncomfortable, but that's the way it has to be. It has to, I mean, it's something that you get comfortable with, you get used to. So for example, it could come up in different ways. We were talking before about awkward silences. You couldn't put words into that. You're allowed to say, wow, you know, this is a little awkward that, you know, we're having this moment of silence here. It's like, it's uncomfortable for me. You know, talk about what you're comfortable with. Talk about how long should our Zoom dates be? Should they be an hour? Is that too much? Is that too intense? Should it be 30 minutes? 30 minutes seems good. Put it all out into words. Don't leave anything. You know, we're used in our dating, we're used to body cues. Looks like she's having a good time. It looks like he's into it. It looks like he's not. It looks like she's bored. Now we might need to put some more words into it. You could say something like, I'm having a good time. Are you? Or like, it looks like you're having a good time. Is that right? And really just put everything into words. Stop. We don't have the luxury of always reading that body language. We don't always have the luxury of assuming things. And so everything has to be put into words. And for those of you that find it challenging, or if you happen to at some point in your life meet a guy who finds it challenging to talk about feelings, so here's a tip is talk about talking. Talk about what is it like to talk. You know, I want to have a conversation with you about how this is going. Is that something you feel comfortable with? Is that scary for you? Is that something you feel that we could do now? Is it too soon? And like I said, you're putting everything out there. And then for a guy who doesn't like talking about feelings, sometimes talking about feelings is like a nice stepping stool into that. I mean, Sue Johnson calls it slicing it thinner. The idea is take steps. We take a step to talk about how it would feel to talk, and then we actually talk about how it's going. And that can ease it up, whether it's for the guys or for yourself. I think everything has to be out there, you know, whether it's going well, whether it's comfortable, and even if it's not comfortable, it should just really be explicit. And that really, to me, is the most important takeaway for how to do this during this time. It's just so challenging, but I think there's a lot of growth opportunity there.
Okay. I think those are also actually great dating tips in general. I think if we switch things up and, you know, the routine of dating or all the different elements, I think these are actually wonderful pieces of advice to internalize for all your relationships, and whether we're in, you know, this pandemic or out, those are also really important, you know, general good cloud, you know, type of tips for everyone, which is really, and now is the time where everyone's going to, yeah, I guess, learn it and hopefully put it into action for the future. Okay. Okay, here we go. What suggestions have you been making to people who are either in serious relationships and not sure if they should be moving forward with plans for the future, or people who are engaged and unsure if when they will be able to have a normal wedding?
Okay. So I think that the question of, I don't know exactly what the questioner means about the wedding. I think that, you know, if we're talking about the stages, it's the way we discussed that, you know, we try to proceed, we try to live our lives. And, you know, whether or not you have a normal wedding, I think is very, you know, up to the person, how they feel comfortable. How do they feel about having, let's say, it turns out to be 50 people or 100 people instead of the people they envisioned. I think we have to be very sensitive to that. I have no lack of empathy, which is a double negative. I feel very bad for the people who are struggling with this. It's not a small thing, even if it seems like it's, you know, smaller than death and illness, which is so common now, but it's still a big tragedy. It's a loss of your dream. Every girl, every boy dreams of the day of their wedding and the friends and the dancing and the music and the food and the flowers. And if a person wants to give up on that, that's a sad thing that we shouldn't belittle. And it's a person's choice. If they want to wait until hopefully there's a time soon that we don't have to do that, then that's great. One thing I will say is I'm not a specialist in weddings per se, but when it comes to marriage, I am seeing that it is a big challenge. I'm not saying that to be scary or to be a downer, but being Shanari Shona is a challenge in this time. Without having our routine, without going to our parents for Shabbos or going out for lunch or even going to shul, without having the husband or wife in typical cases out at the office for some of the day or in yeshiva, it is a challenge. It's not an easy thing to be newly married during this period. I understand marriage is a challenge in general for this, but I'm seeing specifically that being newly married is a challenge. I'm not saying that in a downer way. I'm saying that more that if you decide that you're comfortable with it, it should be part of the conversation. It should be something you speak to your husband-to-be, something you speak to your parents, something you speak to your rabbi, somebody you speak to, whoever it is you go for advice, but it should be part of the education. It should be part of the process. And just like if you're going to get married, you might go for chasen or kala classes. I think that this is as important as to be emotionally ready for some of the challenges that always come in marriage, as well as some of the unique challenges that are going to come up getting married during this time.
Okay, I think I skipped a question, so I'm going to go back. Or maybe I didn't. What are helpful tips for a long-distance relationship due to quarantine?
Okay. Sorry, just catching my place here. So after some virtual dates, we found that you might feel like you need to start nurturing the relationship. And we talk a lot about giving equals love. We can give probably a whole lecture about this, and Dr. Avi can probably give the entire lecture. But in short, you will develop feelings for someone that you give to. So we take that into dating because it's an extremely important principle in relationships. And the point isn't the monetary value of the gift that you're giving. It's that you thought of something that they would like and it made them feel like they're important to you. And it's important for me to bring this up as a tip, you know, about dating in quarantine, because sometimes when you're dating via Zoom and you're not face to face, you forget this important part of developing the relationship. And so sometimes when people complain to me that they don't have, you know, they're not feeling a connection, we start to talk about this and talk about practical tips that they can do to help form that connection while in quarantine, while Zoom dating. So just on a very practical note, I would say when I'm talking to a group of girls, so I'm going to relate it to girls, after 3 or 4 dates, you can bring the guy that you're dating some cookies that you've baked. And I recently told this to a girl that I was mentoring, you know, to bring cookies. And she's like, oh, it's such a typical shadchan idea. That's so trite. But it's trite because it works. My husband still talks about the brownies that I baked him 20 something years ago for our third date. And he brought it back to the YU dorms and he shared it with his always hungry roommates. And he still remembers that because it meant something to him. And if baking isn't your thing, you can drop off or mail his favorite candy bar or candies with like a nice brief note. If you live long distance, someone told me this recently that they did this and I thought it was such a cute idea. Send a meal to each other from a local restaurant and eat it together virtually. You can choose what to order for the other person based on what you know about them. So for example, don't ask them, do you want a Caesar salad or grilled chicken? You design the meal that you're going to send the person based on what you've learned about them. And then another really cute idea that somebody shared with me is called the unboxing date. And this is where you mail each other something fun and surprising and then open it together over video date. So you make it cute and fun. You use multiple wrappings, multiple boxes, ribbons, whatever it is to make it like cute and fun. But these are just like nice, practical, helpful tips that will help form the connection during long distance dating. That's all.
Okay. Dr. Avi, did you want to add anything to that?
I don't think so.
Okay, great. Okay, so I think the next question is, I think, related to all of these questions, but more specifically, does quarantine have an effect on relationships? Everything, Dr. Avi?
Yeah, I think that I'm trying to think if there's a way that we sort of haven't explored and how it is. Again, I think that it's probably more intense, as we've been talking about having the shorter dates. You're a lot more out there. You're saying more. It's more. Meaning, I always talk about vulnerability as like the key ingredient in a good relationship, and so you have to sort of be vulnerable. But what's nice about normal dating is you get to do it really, really slow. One thing at a time, you know, one step at a time. You teach the person you're dating one thing each date, something like that. And over the course of a few weeks, you start to get really close with them. And here, it just doesn't work as quick, as easily. It almost has to be either, like we said at the beginning, you have to have more patience with it, which I think you do. But also just to have the date, you might need to get into some more intense things more quickly. You sort of have to almost jump in a little bit more. And it can't just be, while you're walking, you're just sort of taking in the scene of New York City or whatever it is. There does have to be a little bit more talking, and some of that might be more vulnerable and more open. So I don't think that that's a bad thing, but it might be a challenge. And it does, you know, in some ways affect the relationship, that there is more vulnerability more quickly.
Okay. And what advice would you give to someone who's beyond the first, like, 2 months, and they're, like, in a 3-month, 4-month, I don't want to say lull, but they've been dating a while. And at that point, let's say from 3 to 5 months, you're kind of, you know, moving forward or you're in a good place. And then you hit like a bump, which is where we are now. So how, you know, I guess they've kind of done the dating questions of how many siblings, and I know you, and I know your vulnerabilities, and I know where you went to camp and all those things. Maybe there's not much to talk about after like 4 months.
Yeah. And I guess there's a comfort that you have with that of sort of, you know, like we said before, about putting everything out there, that like, this is a challenge and we're hitting a lull. You don't have to take it too personally and necessarily read into the fact that after 4 months of online dating without being in person, that means you're just not meant to be. So you have to, you know, give yourself and the person you're dating some space and sort of appreciating the situation. But yeah, I mean, that's part of the challenge, just to be able to get comfortable getting closer and closer through this forum until you're able to, let's say, you know, be meet in person in some way. while acknowledging that this is annoying. It's annoying for both of us. And not to let that, like I said, just to sort of rephrase that, not to let this get in between you. Not to let this feel that if we're dating and we hit a lull, it must just be we're not meant to be, we're not for each other. Why can't we just be on the same team and both be frustrated that this is not working? Why can't we both just be annoyed at the situation, the pandemic, that's ruining the moment for us that would now let us talk about, you know, shopping for rings and stuff. So assuming that things are going well, it's been 3-4 months. I think it's a helpful tip already preparing for marriage to be on the same team. We're both annoyed at the situation instead of, well, why don't you have anything to say? I don't have anything to say because we've been dating online for 3 months. Like, come on. So to just give each other that leeway, that space to really stay on the same team with it and not to let it sort of get between you.
Right. I think I also, when I speak to a lot of our students, I hear them say often, well, you know, when we talk or FaceTime, nothing happened today. So there's nothing to really relay, you know. I was in class like I was yesterday and the day before that and last week. So there isn't even enough, you know, happenings to say like, oh, this really fun thing happened or this crazy thing happened or, you know, would you believe? I mean, the funnest thing is probably like what you have for dinner or, you know, the mailman coming, I don't know. So it's, there's also, you know, I think the frustrations and the, annoyance of just, you know, going from topic when you're in a good relationship even and not having you know those dates, and it's a challenge. And that's, you know, hopefully like what you're saying is you need to be a team. You need to say, okay, this is a challenge and we'll get through it together.
On that note, Rachel, we joke in our family that when something funny happens or someone has a great story to tell, they say, no, wait, save it for the Shabbos table. Otherwise, we're going to have nothing to talk about. Because just like what you're saying, like, nothing happened. So Anyone that has something fun to say, we're like, wait for the Shabbos table. Don't tell us yet.
Right, exactly. So, you know what? Also, there's a lot of, just as I'm thinking, there's a lot of actually really interesting, whether they're Jewish books or not Jewish books, but about like ethical questions or, you know, things that come up, whether it's halachic or just like, what would you, you know, things like that, that I think are probably really interesting. That sometimes at our Shabbos table, now that you're saying that, we bring up, and there's a lot of conversation, you know, that delves into a lot of different things. So that's also probably something to do.
Yeah, I think That's what I was like we were talking about before with the style of conversation. It does force us to go from what's around and what's happening in my life to what are my dreams and aspirations, which is, you know, that could be a conversation any point, any place. It's more uncomfortable to go there, but that's a conversation that could be endless. Like you're talking about ethical questions. What are my ideologies? What are my beliefs? What are my goals? What are my visions? Those are quite conversations we could always have, but it's more uncomfortable. It requires, you know, both people to go a little bit outside of themselves and go deeper.
Right. Okay. Okay. What do you think is the most positive thing that can come out of building a relationship over Zoom? Malachi?
Okay. So I love this question. I think the person that asked this question should feel very proud of herself, because finding the good in every situation is a beautiful nida and one that serves an integral role in every relationship and in life in general. So kol hakavod to that girl. She should feel very good about herself. This question was fun to think about, and it didn't take me long to come up with answers to this question. Firstly, on a humorous note, girls are telling me how much they appreciate not wearing heels and not wearing their uncomfortable but incredibly fashionable shoes on dates. Slippers it is, my dear friends. Seriously though, building a relationship over phone or Zoom is sincere. It's genuine. It's real. So many outside factors are removed. What the other person is wearing, where he takes you, what people will say if they see you together. That's all removed. This is wholesome. There's less stress involved in planning dates, deciding what to wear. Did he see me in this already? You can focus on each other. You get to be in the moment. Additionally, dates are shorter now, which may appeal very much to people who are more introverted and get exhausted by 3-hour dates. Also, people are maybe, more amenable to accepting dates. There's less of a commitment on saying yes to a phone call or Zoom date, so you're open to expand your horizons. On the flip side, when people are feeling a slightly more isolated and alone, they're more often, sometimes they're more open to starting relationships and being a little bit more forgiving and less judgmental of the person that they're getting to know because they're enjoying the friendship. Also that we have, like we talked about, so many virtual dating ideas, the possibilities are endless. So many couples complain to me, oh, we've been to a lounge 2 times and Starbucks and I hate Dave and Buster's and there's no place else to go. So now the virtual possibilities are endless. That's all.
Okay, Dr. Ali.
Who hates Dave and Buster's?
Every girl.
Really?
Right, actually, you've been there many times.
the truth is, I went on a date to what was then called ESPN Zone, or does not exist anymore, but it was like Dave and Buster's. And shortly thereafter, my wife, who was with me on the date, told me that she did not like it. So I've gone back to Dave and Buster's a few times, but with other guys.
Well, also, one
other funny story is one of my closest friends wrote an email 15 years ago when he was dating. He was back and forth with Dr. Sebelovsky, and he wrote her like a very long email explaining why he believes that every first date should be no more than 60 minutes. And he told me this week that he feels very validated that the world has finally caught up with him. So just coming back to that. I wrote down 2 positives that I think are nice takeaways. The first one is very similar to that, which is the idea of being able to date the person without the distraction. All the side things, all the traffic and niceties and lounge chairs and the settings that we're in can be wonderful and we enjoy them, but they could also be distracting. There's an interesting study, I just thought about this. There's a study done about where a guy is crossing over a bridge and a woman asks him a series of questions while he's on the bridge, and then she gives him his phone number. She gives him her phone number to call her if he's interested in going out with her. And then the same girl goes up to a bunch of different guys when they're not standing on a bridge, a shaky bridge. And again, she does the same thing. She asks him a bunch of questions and then gives him her phone number. And what they found was interesting was that the guys on the bridge were more likely to call the girl than the guys who were spoken to not on the bridge. And the reason is because the guy was on the bridge, they had these feelings of anxiety. They're on the bridge, it was so scary. And they misinterpreted that anxiety as feelings of attraction, that they thought, oh, that means I must like her. I better call her and follow up. But when they were standing on flat ground, they were able to be a little bit more rational. And so I think that, just to sort of build on that, I think that that's really what we're talking about here, that there's something nice about being able to date without distractions. It's no big buildings. There's no drinks and fun. And it's just, it's person to person. It's real. And that can sort of be helpful in removing some of the distractions. But the other thing that I wrote is something that I just spoke about before, is that the skill to do this right, to do this well, is learning to express yourself, learning to put everything into words. And that is going to be the most valuable skill you have in your marriage. And so learning to communicate, if you get to learn that earlier or not have to wait till you're married, I think that's a wonderful thing. It is something that young couples struggle with, sometimes older couples struggle with, is learning to express their feelings very, very openly, in a very honest way, in a very vulnerable way. And if you're able to do that now, even if it's because you have to, I think that that's an invaluable lesson that you could take with you for the rest of your life. And that's a wonderfully positive thing to take away from this.
Okay, amazing. So I have also just a couple things to add. The first, I think, positive thing is that nobody now has to avoid the Brookdale lobby. And hopefully all of you know what I'm talking about. As a Stern student, hopefully you all get that. So there are a lot of really positive elements to this. The other thing that I would add is I think that something very positive to learn from this is that not everything is going to be perfect. And we have to find the perfect in an imperfect situation, which, like Dr. Avi said, is another wonderful lesson for marriage. That nothing is perfect and we can't always control the situation and we can't always control what's going on in our lives, and things happen, good, bad, stressful, you know, things that we planned, things that we didn't plan. And a lot of these things are out of our control. And to learn this lesson and to incorporate it in our lives and to kind of train our muscles now to realize clearly from Hashem that this is not perfect and that we have, this is perfect from Hashem, but that we have to now figure out how to make it perfect for ourselves. Are tools that will benefit you in your marriage, in Mirz Hashem with your children, in Mirz Hashem with all your relationship and everything in life, because they're all, you know, what everybody has said, Malki, Dr. Avi, these are all really important life lessons that we shouldn't wish it away. Obviously, we all want this to end and we all want to live our lives again if we remember what that's like. But I think it's important to also pick out some lessons. And Hashem is giving us this time now. We shouldn't waste it. We should, you know, reflect and we should say, like, you know, what are these things? You know, we shouldn't just wake up in a couple months and say, you know, it's done and, you know, now let's get back to life. But we should, you know, kind of even, I don't know if people want to journal or, you know, write things down or make sure not to lose the moments. These are not, these are moments that are obviously historical. These are moments that are impactful. So let's internalize them and make sure that it's not lost, because this is something that we've never seen in our lives. This is for anyone. No one can ever say that they've seen anything like this, whether you're dating or not dating, marriage, not marriage, or children. In all capacities, everyone's been affected. And it's incumbent upon us. And I think Hashem is sending us a very strong message to say, learn these lessons, incorporate them, internalize them, and become a different person. You know, don't come out the same way that you went in. Those are all hopefully life lessons that we can, myself included, you know, learn from. So hopefully that will help everybody. Okay. So now I think we have done, thank you so much. We're going to end off with a few final thoughts. And Malki, you got the floor. Sorry, Avi, Dr. Avi, we're doing ladies first.
Thank you. I appreciate that. okay. So as a, just an ending thought and to wrap up and to something to just keep in your mind, I recently, last week actually, heard a shiur that Charlie Harari gave about dating during this time. It was like a 20-minute speech he was giving to a few singles of Chizuk that of course went viral. And what I loved about what he was saying is that there is an opportunity in front of us right now. We're in a period where we can make ourselves greater or miss the chance. Our greatest challenge in society is focusing on externals. So in terms of dating, it's how he looks, how much money he will earn, what my friends will think of him. And we've allowed these external factors to form like a shell around us and determine who we choose to date. We now have an opportunity for depth. We can peel away the shell that was blocking us from saying yes to ideas and give things a chance. It looks on the surface like we're disadvantaged now because we can't meet face to face, but in truth, this is the best position. We're all home, we have our nights free, we have nowhere to go, and now's the time to give new things a chance. We as a Jewish people, and my friend Mindy Eisenman from the YU Connects office tells me this all the time, we as the Jewish people don't believe in stopping life during hard situations. We don't stop creating families. And dating shouldn't stop, it should be ramped up. Let the shadchan or your friend, whoever's setting you up, let them know that you're open to something that you may not have considered before. The out-of-towner, the boy from a different background from yours, the boy who went to different schools, the boy who's shorter than you always thought you wanted. Take away some of the external blockers and give yourself new chances. There was a video going around recently that I'm sure you've all seen, and it was only 37 seconds, so it met my ADD, my Corona ADD watchability. And there's like a mess of clothing on the floor. I'm sure you've all seen this this video. And some people are walking around throwing clothing all over in a disorganized, very messy way. And the viewer of the video, which was me, you know, and whoever's watching it, is wondering why the people are like, why are they taking a video of this? Why are people deliberately making a mess and like not cleaning up the mess of clothing? And then the camera like dramatically takes you to the top of the stairs where you get to see the big picture, which is a beautiful work of art made out of the colored disarray of clothing. And right now we're on the ground floor. Right now we only see the disarray and the mess of clothing on the floor. And maybe our bigger picture is the ability to think outside of our usual box, give new things a chance, take away the external blockers, and let Hashem lead us to our basherets in a manner that's filled with wholesomeness and clarity and bracha.
Beautiful.
And just to piggyback off of both of what you said, because I really loved what both of you said. I think it's so perfect. It's so fitting to really send that message. You know, I mentioned there was a meme that was going around that I caught. So I just want to read it with you. It's easier than showing it to you. But basically, a grandparent is talking to a grandchild, and he says, in the year 2020, humanity was threatened with extinction. Panic spread across the planet like never before. So the child says, well, what were you doing, Grandpa? And he says, just sending memes to friends and stuff. And the point is, what I tell my clients all the time, really all the time, is in 25 years from now, in 50 years from now, we're going to talk about this. This is a year that we will never forget. This is a pandemic that we will never forget. And when you look back at this, we will remember where we were in life. Some of us will have been teenagers. Some of us will have been parents of young children. Some of us will have been newlyweds, parents of older children. But for the people who are dating, that will be forever what they remember. I was dating. And it's hard. And we're not belittling the challenges. There are so many. We've outlined them. Meeting people, getting to know people, finishing the deal. They're all really challenging. But this is going to be something you look back on in 20 years. And I don't want to say make the most of it. It sounds like the wrong message, but take advantage of what we can. You know, some of those dating ideas that Malki said sound like so much fun. Like, I love that, those ideas of everybody sends each other a restaurant meal, opens up a present on a video chat. Like, have a good time with it. It's not perfect. It's not even ideal. You're going to tell your children, your grandchildren, how annoying it was in so many ways. But enjoy the parts that are enjoyable. Enjoy the things that you can enjoy. Take advantage of the things that you can take advantage of. Forever, this will be the period of time intertwined with the Corona experience. So just really make the most of it. Have it be something that you could look back on, even if negatively overall, but that you have positive experiences as well to reflect upon.
Okay. So I have one more thing to add. This is, I guess, my piece that if anybody was at the Dani panel we had a couple months ago, I threw out a challenge. So I don't want to end a dating panel discussion without sending out the same challenge, which is a thought that obviously some people are dating and some people are not, or they're not busy and they're wondering what to do with themselves. Now is a good time to think of all your friends and set them all up. The idea of I set you up, you set me up, you know, will spread. And I think if everyone takes that seriously and uses this time to think of their friends and or think of the person that might not have hundreds of dates or to think of someone, everybody knows someone. And I said this exact thing at our last panel. Everybody has a brother or a cousin or went to camp or goes to shul or went to shul, I should say. All these things that we did, everybody has a cousin. And there's no reason that you can't use this time to think of your friends or of your acquaintances or people that you may know that may be a good idea. And I challenge everybody to think of three people tonight who you can set up and make matches for them, and they will do that for you. It comes back to you, I promise. It's a wonderful segula. So you do it for them, they will do it for you, and it keeps the world going round. So on that note, and I want to hear about all the shidduchim that you're going to be making, so share them with me, please. On that note, I want to thank you all for participating, and I know being on Zoom is a little, at least for me, not seeing the faces is really a challenge, but it's wonderful to be with you all. I miss you all terribly, and I can't wait to be back together. And I want to thank Dr. Avi and Malki for joining us. Your words of wisdom are inspiring and motivating and encouraging, and we really appreciate all your wonderful words of advice and encouragement. And on that note, if anybody has any questions, they can always email me, and I can connect you with either Dr. Avi or Malky, or you can always reach Dr. Avi at the Counseling Center and Malky at YU Connects. And obviously the rest of the resources as part of Yeshiva University are always here for you. Please don't be strangers, and please always reach out. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Anybody want to show their face? Would love to see you. Anyone? Okay. Guess not. Should we wait?
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Have a good night. Feel good. Oh.